Do you ever hunger for things in the Spirit, thirst for things in the Spirit? I do, all the time. And I'm thankful for that, because Jesus said, they that hunger and thirst shall be filled. It's not healthy when you're not hungry, not thirsty. Naturally, if you never have an appetite for food or for liquids, that's not good, right? You get thirsty, and you drink something. You get hungry, you eat something, yes? And the same is true spiritually. And, of course, we have to learn what that means. Because in the beginning, when you're just a young Christian, and sometimes you don't realize that really what you are feeling is spiritual hunger, a spiritual thirst. And Jesus said, all who come to me will never, never hunger. And all who believe in me will never, never thirst. John chapter 6. So we know that he is where we need to go with our spiritual hunger and thirst. Amen? And I'd like to open my Bible with you in Psalm 57.
Psalm 57.
And if you don't mind, I'll read to you this first four verses from the Amplified translation. Amplified does not mean exaggerated. It just gives you a few more English words for the original text to be able to understand it. And here David, if I may put us in context for a moment, is really going through difficulties. Saul is after him with 3,000 men, determined to kill him at all cost. Yes? And he is having to hide in the wilderness and run from place to place not to get caught. So he's really not in an easy place in his life. And often when we go through things that are challenging for us, the Lord is looking to perfect that which concerns us. Because when you go through difficulties, it puts you under pressure. And that pressure often causes you to be a bit more broken, a bit more vulnerable, a bit more needy. Yes? You need help. You don't know what to do. I don't know how to solve this. I don't know how to get through this. I don't know what to do about this. Right? That feeling is vulnerability. And that's a door. And God comes through whatever door we give him. Right? He says, I stand at the door knocking. So he invites himself. He comes to us. And look what David had learned at this time. Be merciful and gracious to me, Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful and gracious to me, O God. Be merciful and gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge and finds shelter and confidence in you. Yes, in the shadow of your wings will I take refuge and be confident until these calamities and destructive storms have passed. Right? So when you are in a difficulty, in a hardship in one way or another, and you go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I need you to help me. Right? That's exactly what's happening here. And I like what he says, until these calamities have passed, I hide myself in you. What a good thing to do. And then he says in verse 2, I will cry to God Most High, listen now, who performs on my behalf, or as that King James would say, who performs all things for me, and rewards me, listen now, who brings to pass his purposes for me and surely completes them. What David is saying, I know that the Lord's in control. And the Lord will bring to pass the things he's promised. And the Lord will bring to pass the things he's shown me. And the Lord will fulfill his good word towards me. The Lord will work this out for my good, as we would say. God works all things together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. That's really what David is saying. We quote it all the time, right? From Romans chapter 8. God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's really what David is saying. And then he says, he will send from heaven and save me from the slanderous reproaches of him who would trample me down and swallow me up, and he will put him to shame. And then he says, Salah, calmly think of that. God will send forth his mercy and loving kindness and his truth and faithfulness. Verse 4, my life is among the lions. So David is in this time that the enemy goes about roaring like a lion. And what does he do? He takes his refuge in the Lord. Right? And then he says that the Lord himself will perform all things for him. It is a wonderful place to get to when you know God is doing it. How many of you love it when you see the Lord at work for you? When you see the Lord is doing it. But we aren't always aware of that. Sometimes we feel it's not happening. It's not happening. I don't know what's happening, but I don't see anything happening. And it looks like the Lord is far from me. And when I cry to him, it looks like he doesn't hear me. And you're in that spiritual battle, that spiritual warfare, that you can't perceive it, you can't recognize it, you can't see it. Doesn't mean it's not happening, it's just you can't see it. I have often been with people and I see what God's doing for them, but they can't see it, but I can see it. But they can't see it. And we can often not see what the Lord is doing for us. And David is in that place that he hides with God and he comes into this spirit of faith. God is performing all things for me. God is performing it. And this is no small thing when you have 3,000 soldiers out there and a king ready to kill you. And you say, I know the Lord has anointed me to be king. I know that the Lord has given me to reign over the whole nation, but here I'm hiding in a cave. Here everything is trying to destroy me, and it looks like I'm going down, but I know God will perform all things for me. That's the same spirit of faith Abraham had when he says, I'm called to be a father of many nations, when his wife couldn't have one child, and he was already about 100 years old. That's the kind of spirit of faith I'm talking about. God wants to bring us all into that place where we have that kind of spirit of faith. And it's important. And that is a work of God's Spirit in us often when we go through the challenge. That God is perfecting that which concerns me. Go with me to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. I love this psalm. It's been a psalm of my life among a few others. About 149 others. But look what he says here. Same David. In verse 3, in the day when I called, you answered me. Listen now. And you strengthened me with strength. And listen to what it says here in the Amplified. Might and inflexibility to temptation in my inner self. My, I like that. I've taken a hold of that thought in my spirit, because if I quickly read you this verse. God has commanded your strength, your might in his service, and impenetrable hardness to temptation. Can I read that again? God has commanded your strength, your might in his service, and impenetrable hardness to temptation. Where's that? Psalm 68, verse 28. I've taken a hold of this thought. Because many times when we are going through different challenges, they may not be familiar temptations, but they are temptations. They're distracting us from the purposes of God. Worry is another form of being tempted. You're worrying about this or worrying about that. You're being distracted by the worries. The Lord Jesus says that in the last days, people become unfruitful in their service with God because of the worries, the stresses of life, the pressures of life. You can begin to live under so much pressure that you start suffering with anxiety in your nervous system. And there's a good scripture that helps you with that from the Amplified Bible, and that is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but trust in the Lord, and it shall be healing to your nervous system. God wants to give us in these times that we are maybe going through some trials and hide, and we're hiding with Him, He wants to give us an impenetrable hardness and impossibility to temptation. That there comes in us an authority, a power in the Spirit that we're not easily drawn aside by challenges. That we grow up a bit, toughen up a bit. Amen? The Bible says we rejoice in the hope in Romans chapter 5 of the glory that awaits us in the presence of the Lord. But we also rejoice in trials because it causes us to have to persevere in our faith. And perseverance in our faith works in us character that becomes so forceful that we're completely convinced about the hope that is set before us. And we're not moved by anything. There has to come into a time in our life that we grow up a bit more, that we mature a little bit more, that the same thing that happens every so often in life doesn't distract you anymore, doesn't bother you anymore, doesn't affect you. You don't even pay attention to it because you're fully convinced that the work that God's doing cannot be stopped by that because you've gone through that before and it didn't stop it before. So why worry about something that can't stop you? And you just march on in life and take no account of it and endure and persevere. Say amen. Amen. And David says then these beautiful verses in verse 7 and 8 of Psalm 138. Right? He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. I like to have that spirit in me. I like to have that spirit in me. Father, I know you have a plan. You know what I have need of before I even am aware of it. And you have prepared the ways for me. I thank you, Lord. And I'm expecting the Spirit to make me rise and triumph. Amen. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. And the Lord, verse 8, will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, your loving kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. That little verse right there, verse 8 of Psalm 138, has been something that's been in my life for more than 30 years. That scripture lives in my heart. Father, I trust you to perfect that which concerns me and to complete the work of your hands. For I am your handiwork, recreated in Christ Jesus for the good works that you have predestined me to, prepared for me. Father, I believe that you will work these things for me. And David was in those times when he was believing this and praying this, hiding in a cave like some kind of refugee. And he became the king as God had prepared him, planned for him. Did the Lord bring to pass what he had planned for David? Will the Lord bring to pass what he's planned for you? Without a shadow of a doubt. And one of the breaths I feel coming from heaven, my goodness, I feel this breath all over the earth, wherever I go, is that the Lord is bringing to pass. The Lord is bringing to pass. There's a breath of patience, endurance, waiting. And I've been in that breath where God, by His Spirit, enables you to endure, to wait, to persevere, to hold firm, to not waver through unbelief, but to stand fully convinced and persuaded that what God has shown you is really given to you, even though it's impossible. But praise the Lord when you come into a new, fresh day where it begins to come to pass. It's kind of like the woman. She has the promise that baby is getting born. She can feel it. She can see it growing. But there comes a moment she says, oh my, it's time. It's time. I can feel it. It's coming. Oh, don't be so silly. No, I know. Yes, and you know you've come into the time it's going to be born, that baby. And the same is true spiritually. We can have promises in us that are growing stronger and that are growing stronger, and that God would not let the enemy steal from us, and that he would not allow us to cast away from ourselves through unbelief or through doubt or through fear or through discouragement. And there comes a day when we're stable and steady. Those same wrestles are gone because we have received this might in our inner man, this impenetrable hardness to temptation, this inflexibility to these thoughts. It will never happen. It cannot happen, and it's not for you because you made too many mistakes. Those wrestles are gone. Those pains are over, and you are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And then suddenly you feel this breath coming from heaven. Glory to God. We're in the time here. It's ready. It's wonderful. Oh, I'm seeing this all over the world. I was preaching in Siberia, in a place called Novosibirsk. Nova means capital. Sibirsk means Siberia, the capital of Siberia. And it's really interesting. It when the Soviet Union was what it was the center of the Soviet Union. And you have one building there that identifies the center of the Soviet Union. And that building is a church with a cross on it. Glory to God. Not something else. And I feel happy about that. Amen. Don't believe everything you hear on the news about the Russians. They're wonderful. They're amazing. But anyway, I was preaching there on this enormous river with about 230 pastors. And folks, my goodness, it was revival. The spirit of revival was so forceful, so powerful. It was glorious. And it's moving all over the earth, this breath. And David said, Lord, while you're blessing others, bless me too. You want to catch this wind, folks. There's been other winds that we wanted to leave where they were. But this wind is the one you want to catch. Oh, praise the Lord. This wind is coming from the throne of grace. This wind is saying, I'm ready to perform my word. I have watched over it, and I'm ready to bring to pass the things I've shown you. And some of us have waited from the morning, and some of us been hired just an hour ago. But we're all coming into the time that the Lord is ready to pay up. Amen. And let's not be like those and go, well, Lord, you can't give it to them. They've only just begun. I mean, I've been here a long time now. It's my time. And the Lord says, don't be silly. Let me give what I want to give. I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, and show you two powers, while there are many others. But these are the two I feel they emphasize today. Two powers by which the Lord perfects that which concerns us. Perfects means to complete, to bring to completion. You've arrived at your destination. It's like your GPS, your sat-nav says, you have now arrived. Your destination is at your right hand. And you look and there's the building and you go, my goodness. What computers can do for us. It's like the Holy Spirit saying to you, you have now arrived. You're here. You're in the place of fulfillment. Perfection is, I'm in the fulfillment. I'm in the fullness. I'm come to the place of the fulfillment of His grace. It's like the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I'm ready to perform my word. Walk before me and be blameless. Yes. And then the Lord came again and said, now, after the order of life, your wife will conceive and bring forth a son. It's like the Lord, He comes at these different times by His Spirit to ready us. It's an important word today. To ready us. I feel the Lord constantly coming to ready. And I want to be found ready. I want to be found ready. I don't want to be found as somebody unfaithful in the time of fulfillment, as somebody having forsaken the plow when it's time for a new day. I don't want to have labored this long and it all have been in vain. So David said in his spirit, Psalm 138, perfect that which concerns me. Do not abandon the work of your hands. Finish what you've started. I can guarantee you that grace will complete what grace has begun. You want to be in a place of readiness now where those areas of temptation, you now have this might of God in your spirit, this inflexibility, this hardness to that temptation. You're not anymore wrestling. Now, I know I'm repeating myself, but it's worth repeating. You're no more wrestling with these same emotional insecurities, these same spirits of unbelief, these same demons that keep lying to your soul and keep wrestling with your soul. You have conquered them. You have subdued them. You reign over them with the knowledge of the truth. You now walk in the liberty of the knowledge of the truth. You're convinced. You're totally persuaded. You stand in this stature, in this readiness. You're ready. You've left all your other girlfriends behind. You're ready to get married. You've left your lovers. I used to have lovers. I used to love the movie theater. I used to love all these different movies and all that. I can't bear them anymore. I don't want to know them. I don't want to see them. I don't even want to know what's up. I want nothing to do with them. They're a reproach to me. I live in a readiness I never had before. And praise the Lord that he's been so patient and so forbearing. Isn't the Lord good how he will wait on you until you're finally ready? And some of us maybe should have been ready 10 years ago. One man, a man called Melvin Banks? Melvin Banks is a phenomenal old-timer minister in our country. He's still alive. He lives out by Swindon somewhere. And he came to minister at our church, and one of the men of our church asked if he could be part of the car that picked him up. I said, sure, go. When he got in the car, he told Melvin, he said, Melvin, 10 years ago, the Lord told me to evangelize, and I've never done it. What do you think I should do? He's asking an evangelist. So I could have told him what Melvin's going to say. Melvin said, go do it. Simple answer sometimes to our disobedience, yes? So then he comes to see me. Disobedience isn't always logical. It's an unreadiness of heart, of soul, of inner being. And so he came to see me, and he said, Pastor, da 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 da. And Melvin said, I should go do it. What do you think I should go do? Now, here you need to see how graces work together to accomplish a breakthrough. Melvin had kind of plowed that inner man of him with a willingness. Then he comes to me and he says, what do you think I should do? I said, get in your car, drive to whatever village you choose, stop at any house you choose, walk up to the door, ring the doorbell, and God will speak to you. He looks at me. I said, get in the car, drive to any village, stop in front of any house, and go to the door, and God will speak to you. Now do what I say. So by the prophetic anointing, I empowered him to go obey. So he drove to a village, felt to stop in front of this house, walked up to the door, said to the lady who opened the door, you know, the Lord has told me to come and evangelize. The lady shouted to her husband in the back, darling, there's a man here who says he's supposed to evangelize. The man shouts back, I've been waiting for that for 10 years. Are you looking at me? There is a readiness. There's a readiness. See, it works both ways. It's our willingness and his willingness. My brother-in-law, the Holy Spirit one time said to me, go talk with Jack. It's the name of my brother-in-law. He was the head of our Bible school. So I walked into his office in the morning. I said, hi, Jack. I said, let's talk. He starts crying. He never cries, never. And he said, oh, I'm okay, Pastor, I'm okay. I said, no, Jack, the Lord told me to come talk to you. What's on your heart? He said, I keep having this dream. I said, tell me. He said, I see myself walking into what looks like a stadium, like a Roman Colosseum, and the moment I walk into it, I have all the authority to do whatever the Lord's told me to do, and the moment I walk out of it, I can't do what I can do inside. He said, and I know that stadium is Asia. Yes? What he didn't know, nobody else knew, that in 1985, before I left Holland, when the Lord called me out of my country of Holland, the Lord gave me three dreams, and three nights in a row, and in each dream, I saw like a Roman Colosseum stadium, and the Lord said to me, take it, and I took it. I never understood what that meant until that moment. And I said to Jack, Jack, get on the plane, fly to Kathmandu, and go into a hotel, and the Lord will meet you there. He looks at me. I said, get on a plane, get a ticket. Here's my card. Buy your ticket. Fly to Kathmandu. Check in any hotel, and the Lord will meet you there. Go. So he got on the plane, flew to Kathmandu, checked into some hotel. As he's walking in the lobby, there's as many people as there are here, and he didn't know what to do. But he happened to notice this man standing by a pillar. There's many men there. And he goes to his room, and the Holy Spirit keeps bringing that man back to his thoughts. So he goes back down, and the man is still there. He said, hello, God has sent me here. The man said, the Lord told me you were coming and told me to be here. He said, where are you from? He said, I'm from the Himalayas. God had told him to go to the Himalayas. I'm from the Himalayas, and the Lord has told me that I need to take you there immediately. So he went and got his bag, checked out of the hotel, went to the Himalayas, walked and walked and walked, got into this village, and the translator started making all kinds of noise, talking to a 13-year-old girl. I'm talking about readiness, right? And this little girl is sharing in her language that when she was about 4 years old, a missionary came to the village and she had polio, and he prayed for her, and she got instantly healed. The whole village got saved, but they all went back to Buddhism. But she stayed true to Jesus, crying to Jesus, and Jesus said, don't worry, I will send my servant, he will come, he will come. She had been waiting for what, for 9 years, 10 years, 11 years? And here my brother-in-law comes, and the Lord says to the little girl, he's the one, he's the one. So the whole village comes out, because she's shouting in the village, he's come, he's, I told you he'd come, he's come, he's come. Are you ready to be the one? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So the whole village comes out. Jack shares with them that Jesus sent them. There's two other children with polio, and they get instantly healed, and the whole village comes back to Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready? There's a readiness. Perfect that which concerns me, O Lord. Do not abandon the work of your hands. Don't give up on the plan you had. Use me. Choose me. Here I am, Lord. I know you want to do great things for the nations. You want to do great things for this nation. You've been waiting to do these things. You've been longing to do them. Here I am, Lord. I've come to enlist. Choose me, Lord. Choose me, Lord. I went to go see my mom about 2 months ago, maybe 7 weeks ago, for her 90th birthday. But I went to go see her 2 years ago, I think it was now. Time flies so quick. And when I went to go see her 2 years ago, I'm sitting with her in her living room, and she said, oh, Robert. I love it when she says that. In Dutch, I'm called Robert. She says, oh, Robert, bid even for me. Pray for me, please. I said, Mom. How can I pray for you? You're so blessed. You need to pray. Nay, no, don't say that, Robert. And she's crying and crying. I said, Mom, what could I pray for you for? I know that Jesus still wants to use me, and I want to be used by him. Please lay your hands upon me and pray for me. And she gets on her knees, and I lay my hands upon her. And instantly the Lord Jesus opens my understanding. I said, Ma, you're going to be asked to go preach in all the churches. And the moment you begin to open your mouth, everything you say, Jesus will bring to pass instantly, and all the people will know it, that it's the Lord. And she's shouting and worshiping and laughing and rejoicing. It's quite fun to watch that. Honestly, my mom is physically old but spiritually young. And anyway, I went to go see her a bit later, and she was shouting and shouting because exactly what the Lord said had happened. My brother knew nothing about it, and he's the head of the ministry. And my brother all of a sudden said to my mom, the Lord spoke to me and said you're to go to all the churches and share about your life with Papa and so forth. I'd love to show you a video about this, about my mom's life, and maybe tonight. It's very short. It's only 3 minutes. And anyway, and so she went to all the churches, and everything she said instantly happened. There's a readiness. There's a readiness. Perfect that which concerns me. Do not give up on the work of your hands. God is ready to do things. Are we? God was ready to do something in that village in Nepal, but he was looking for the servant who would go there. God was ready to touch all those churches, but was my mom ready to go? Because sometimes it takes a certain key to open certain doors. And that I know for sure. And you might be that key. Can the Lord employ you? Come on now. I want to be a key to the purposes of God. Say amen. So there's two powers that I want to talk to you about, by which the Lord perfects that which concerns us, by which he brings us into that readiness, by which he has us in a readiness, has us in a readiness. What did I just say? He has you. He has got you in a readiness. You are ready. Come on now. I am far away from my home. Right now, my home is in Folkestone. But look, I have three keys here. One, this is the church. That's my garage. And this is my house. I live in readiness. See? So when I get home, I don't have to ring the bell. I open the door. I have power of access. I live in readiness. Readiness is power of access to the works of God, to the purposes of God, to the plans of God. God is wanting us in a readiness right now. He's wanting you in a readiness. He's wanting you in a readiness. Come on, feel the Holy Spirit's pulling on many of your souls. He wants you in a readiness. Think about Jacob. Jacob. It took the Lord 20 years to bring him into that readiness. And the Lord demonstrated the readiness of Jacob to minister the new covenant anointing by the spirit by which he approached his brother who hated him and came to kill him with 400 men on horseback. And instead of his brother being able to kill him, the spirit in him of reconciliation and peace and righteousness and joy in the Lord, the kingdom of God, was stronger than hating his brother. Yes or no? And his brother Esau could not kill him, and the Lord transformed him from supplanter, deceiver, into prince, Israel. He was ready. We haven't always been ready. We've still wrestled with these temptations of unresolved hurts. We've still wrestled with these temptations of undisciplined desires. We've still wrestled with these. We haven't been employed by this spiritual power that makes us ready. So I want to talk to you about what God uses to hold you in readiness. Yes? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Oh my goodness, I love this. How much more surely shall the blood of Christ, who by virtue of his eternal spirit, his own pre-existent divine personality, has offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice to God, purify our conscience from dead works, or cleanse your heart from consciousness of sin, so that you may serve the living God. There is this spiritual power by which God holds you in readiness. And it's that eternal spirit by which Jesus offered himself. And I am desperately grateful that the Bible uses the word eternal spirit here and not just Holy Spirit. Eternal means it's unchangeable. It doesn't fade away. It doesn't diminish. It doesn't become less. There is nothing that has authority over it. It's eternal. That which is eternal has never been conquered, has never been ruled over. The Spirit of Jesus Christ that he had before all things were created is the same Spirit by which he offered his blood. The power that is in his blood is that eternal Spirit. And that Spirit comes to work in us through faith in Jesus Christ. As you put your faith in him and draw your strength from your union with him, draw your nourishment from your union with him, as you pray and you say, Lord, I trust you to perfect me by your Spirit. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is at work in me, cleansing me with your blood, perfecting my heart, cleansing my heart from consciousness of any defilement or any sin. I thank you for this impenetrable hardness to temptation, that I will no longer suffer these thoughts and these feelings that distract me from the knowledge of you. Thank you. And the Holy Spirit perfects you and brings you into that readiness, that eternal Spirit, and holds you in readiness. I feel in me that holding of readiness, and it's getting stronger. And it is an impenetrable hardness to temptation. It will not suffer compromise. It will not be defiled. It will not be corrupted. It will not be overcome with the thoughts and the lies of the devil. It will not compromise the will of God and the purposes of God. It cannot. It cannot. It's the Spirit of Christ. It cannot sin, cannot die, cannot be separated from the love of the Father. It cannot fall short of his glory. It's not possible. That Spirit is what God uses to bring you into a readiness and hold you in that readiness. And you walk in it. You live in it. Every day. Oh, my friends, it's more powerful than you realize. It's the power that Jesus Christ exerts over all who believe in him. It's the power by which God raised him from the dead. He exerts it. He exerts it. I believe that Jesus has the power to conform me to himself. I believe he has the power to raise the dead. And in my natural nature, I'm dead, and yet I live through faith in Jesus Christ. It's that power that he holds you in readiness. Come on, folks. Some of us have tasted it for a moment. Wow, I felt the anointing there. Ooh, God gave me a word. But it's not there very often. See, we don't live in the readiness. God wants you to live in a readiness and not come out of it. And I feel that Spirit contesting for me for greater superiority and authority in my body, in my soul, in my living being. Jesus, listen, is the living expression of the Father. The Word is God and was manifest upon us, and we saw his glory. Yes, he is the living expression of the Father. See me, see the Father. Receive me, receive the Father. He lived in this readiness, this eternal Spirit by which he opened the new life giving way to the Father through a whole life of self-sacrifice to the will and purposes of God. That's the power that he works in you, perfects you, and brings you into that readiness and holds you in that readiness. I'm being held by the power of God. Come on now, you need this for your faith, because your faith has been weak. Your faith has still suffered the weakness of your human nature, and it's doubted the truth of God because you have had were self-aware of your failings and shortcomings, so your faith was undermined. But the Spirit is perfecting you to that place where your faith is no longer undermined. This impenetrable hardness to temptation has taken authority inside of you, dominance. You need this. I find it impossible to bear to go from this life of the glory of Jesus Christ down to the pains of sin. I cannot bear it. I cannot bear it. I cannot bear it. I cannot bear the pain of falling short of the glory of God. My goodness. Oh, I can't bear it. The The Lord wants to bring you such a place you cannot ever bear to go back. Jesus sweat drops of blood because evil, sin was so evil to him. He couldn't bear it. It was so bad. We often have entertain ourselves with darkness, and then we want to liberate people that are held by it. No more. Come on. We need to be consecrated, dedicated, and separated to our Father who is in heaven. And that ought to be the normal Christian life. That ought not to be the unique few. That ought to be the whole body of Christ is consecrated, dedicated, and separated unto God, moved by the breath of His Spirit like a mighty light, Holy Ghost fire on earth, bringing the kingdom of God into this nation. Come on, there's been others who have before us who've done it. The Wesleys did it. Wilberforce was a force that destroyed the power of slavism. And what about what do you call the head of the Salvation Army? William Booth. Well, might as well change our name to William here. Not William Wallace, though. God wants you to come into the knowledge of that Spirit. I want to tell you, one of the first and foremost privileges of the new covenant is the knowledge of the Spirit. What did the blood of Jesus purchase for you? To know God. That's it. No longer shall any man need to teach his neighbor or his brother, you shall know the Lord, but from the least of you, you shall know him. And as it has been promised, I will write my word into your heart so that you will want what I want, and I will write it into your mind so that you will know what I want. No one will need to teach you to know him because you will know him personally, practically, through experience. That is the covenant. Read it in Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10. The first and foremost unction that comes to us through the blood of Jesus is the personal knowledge of the Father. To know this Spirit that is eternal. And to have this in us, perfecting us to the place where we're in a readiness and we're living in this readiness. We're living in this readiness for the will of the Father to be done, for the purposes of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. I love this verse. Second thing that God uses to bring us into that readiness and hold us there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There's no fear in love. The Amplified says, dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, and perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, of torment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's perfection. I find this, for me, one of my main powers by which the Lord perfects me and keeps me in that perfection. He keeps me in it. I need to be kept in it. You cannot advocate a gospel you are not able to live every day. We are often the greatest reproach to the gospel we preach. Jesus is the power of the gospel. He is the one who started it and upholds it. He's the testimony of the truth of the gospel. And often we ourselves become the reproach to the message we bring because of the life we live. How cruel, how mean, how harsh, how selfish, how indifferent, how idle, how unwilling and how unfriendly. We can respond sometimes and deny the very gospel that God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And yet we are ready to condemn people who cut us off in traffic. Yeah. We're ready to condemn our loved ones when they didn't do what we were expecting. And we deny the very gospel that saved us. I need this readiness. I need it every day in the way I live, in my relationship to my wife and my children and my grandchildren and the people in our church. I need it. I need it to keep me into a readiness to be able to answer every question in that power that converts the heart from fear to faith. I need that readiness. I can't live without it. It's what is the power by which the Lord perfects me, and keeps me in that perfection. And I cannot stand here before you and say, listen, folks, I've never missed it here or there. I can't say it. I have missed it at times. But it feels like hell itself, so painful when I do. But when you relish in such behavior and justify it and explain it away, they provoke me. You excuse yourself by accusing somebody else. You're far from the knowledge of the truth. And you're not free. You're still a slave of sin. But whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. You got to come into a place where you know the truth of the Father's love being poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit continuously, bringing you into a whole new mindset and a whole new way of thinking, whole new way of acting and reacting to people, where you act in a way of mercy because you have received mercy, in a way of compassion because you've received compassion, in a way of forgiveness because you've received forgiveness, in a way of faith because He had faith in you when you were hopeless, in a way of hope when you were completely outside of His realm. And He had hope in you. He said, come on, if you'll follow me, I'll make you. How many of you could say amen to that? Has the Lord been merciful to you? Did He love you when you were a rascal? Has He stayed faithful to you when you were still naughty? You need to let that love perfect you. Perfect you, perfect you, perfect you. Until you begin to know its power. Listen, look at me. Until you begin to know its power growing in you and you begin to notice its borders. What is the feeling of the border? Your attitude, your moods, that's the border. And you know if you're hitting your borders, you haven't been feeding very well. You haven't been drinking out of the fountain that never runs dry. You haven't come to that place of satisfaction in Him. You're trying to satisfy yourself on the husks of human nature instead of on the true bread that comes from heaven that will never fail. I plead with you in the name of the Lord Jesus, let that spirit that never diminishes, that never fades, that never grows less in who it is and what it is, perfect you. Let that love that never fails, love never fails, perfect you consistently, constantly. Day and night, day and night. Day and night. You must have a day and night. I know I'm being a bit passionate, but you could take it. It's an afternoon meeting. Let that love perfect you. Every day. And if you fall short of it, believe He loved you while you were yet a sinner and demonstrated that love by giving His life for you. I love that verse. It's somewhere in John chapter 13, I think it is. And He loved His own, and He loved His own to the end, and now showed them the extent of that love. Folks, come on. You stay faithful to people sometimes, but then comes that opportune time when you need to be ready to demonstrate the extent of that love and totally disarm the devil and make a spectacle of him by triumphing over him through this love. It's amazing how people could be faithful, 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 and then the opportune time comes, and they say, stuff it, forget it, I've had it, no more. I'm thinking, now if you would show the extent of all the love you had shown, the devil's head would have been crushed, and you would have bruised and destroyed his head with the power of Christ in you. I want to live in that readiness. Readiness by his spirit, readiness by his love. I'm going to read you something that I've been feeding on in John chapter 10. I'm not going to keep you much longer. Maybe the pianist can come, please. I love this. I like this. This is what turns me on in my prayer life. This is what gets me praying. I like using the scriptures to pray. I like to pray with the thoughts of my Father. I like to speak his language. I don't want him to always have to listen to me. I like to hear him hear himself in me. Yeah? Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 30, he says, "And I and the Father are one." I read that one little verse. I and the Father are one, and I pray, and I said, Father, I'm one with you. I'm one with you. Your spirit is in me. Your love is in me. I thank you for this, Father. Look at verse 32. And Jesus said to them, "My Father has enabled me to do many good deeds. I have shown many acts of mercy in your presence." I read that and I say, Father, thank you for enabling me to show many acts of mercy. Acts of mercy. How many of you could use some more acts of mercy? Yes, acts of mercy. Loving kindness, tender mercies. Come on, how is your measure doing? Some of us are living on our edges all day. Our moods are so on fire. We're so on the edge. We're, you know, do you just push me a little? And we're living on our edge. And we're empty. We're empty. Been used up, Pastor. And I keep being deceived by thinking it's all their fault instead of, if I would just come to the resource that will never run dry, if I would come to the fountain that will never fail, if I would just receive out of that unquenchable, abundant grace that keeps coming, that just never fails, then I would never run dry, no matter what they push me with, no matter what they try me with. You begin to command your power in me and enable me with an impenetrable hardness to these temptations. I'm not going to fall and fail anymore, Lord. I want to live in the readiness now. I don't want to blame them by excusing myself. I don't want to accuse myself by blaming them. My Father has enabled me. Say this. My Father has enabled me to show many acts of mercy. To show many acts of mercy. And then he says, the works that I do in order, this is verse 38, that you may understand clearly that the Father is in me and that I'm in the Father. I find this beyond measure delightful, beyond measure. I find this so stirs me and provokes me to have more works to demonstrate my Father is in me and I'm in him. That the works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father, that he enables me. I so hunger for this every day. Let this perfect you. Holy Spirit, you're breathing this fresh breath from heaven. We can all see the flapping of our sails in the wind. We've all been waiting. We've all been enduring. We've all been persevering. We've all been trusting and standing firm. We've all been humbling ourselves and repenting and coming to this new place. Now, Lord, you're breathing this fresh breath into our sails. And we begin to get up and say, oh, glory to God, I feel the wind. I feel the Lord is ready to perform his word. I feel the Lord is ready to fulfill his promise. I see that the Lord is ready to fulfill his promise. purposes. Oh, Father, thank you that you've prepared me for a day such as this. Come on. Begin to just worship the Lord. The Spirit is at work in you. The love is at work in you, bringing you into this readiness, holding you in this readiness. Father, we worship you. I want to ask my brother also to come that we could sing another song. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love to live in this readiness. I love to live in this place of readiness. Glory to God. Maybe stand up for a moment and just kind of get out of your seats. I don't have to ask somebody to come forward. It's on the whole congregation here. It's on this ministry. It's on this ministry. It's on this whole ministry. It's on Ben and Amanda and the whole leadership. It's on this whole ministry. I felt that the moment I walked in here, the readiness of God, that God is ready to fulfill his purpose, ready to bring to pass the things that he wants to do. Do not abandon the work of your hands. Lord, I thank you that you are here among this group of people ready to do things, wanting to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.